Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I thank you for being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart Radio and tuning in again for part two of Jesus Christ is Coming to Town. We had such a blessed time last broadcast when we looked at the points concerning Jesus Christ is Coming to Town. And we did a nice in-depth look out of the book of Isaiah and the book of Matthew concerning Jesus is coming, prophesied, and Jesus came, personified. And we looked at how Jesus, the story was told from the very beginning of time, how Jesus was going to come. And we took a look at it in particular out of the book of Isaiah chapter 9, and we walked through the first few verses in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, and then we drop down to verse 6. And we started there in verse 6, and we continued with verses 6 and 7 in the book of Isaiah, speaking about how Jesus was to come. And Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, saw over 700 years before he came. The prophet Isaiah penned it, led by the Holy Spirit, to reveal to us the prophecy of a child who was going to be born. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, among other names that we call this little bitty baby, Jesus Christ. We looked at that also revealed in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 4. And we cross-referenced those two particular chapters to show the validity of what was prophesied and what was personified, what is coming and who came as a little bitty baby. And when we cross-referenced those, I prayed that the Holy Spirit revealed to you the beauty of his word and the validity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the word of God, and how relevant it is for us to communicate and stand firm on our truth and the belief on our faith that Jesus did come and he did walk this earth. And we're going to pick back up with point two, Jesus came, and we're going to continue with this, Jesus Christ is coming to town, and we're going to conclude with point three. And the third point is Jesus comes again, glorified. Hallelujah. And that is a joyful time to reflect and anticipate and expect the coming of Jesus Christ in all of his glory. So let's open up our broadcast with a prayer of praise to our Father in heaven. And if you would bow your heads, brothers and sisters, and pray with me as we touch and agree. And for those of you who do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I pray that you would bow your head and humble your heart and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior as we pray a prayer of praise. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for giving us our daily bread. Thank you for providing for us because you are our provision. Thank you for feeding us the very word, the very body of Jesus Christ. For his word became flesh and dwelt among us. Thank you for your son, Jesus. As we glorify him, celebrate him, reverence him, and come to know more about him. Move in our hearts, Lord, and our minds that we draw closer and closer into you. That we have a hunger and a thirst for you. That our relationship would grow, that we would tell others about you. Help us to let our light so shine among men. That we continue to share the gospel, that somebody may come to know you and ask for forgiveness of their sin, for you died on the cross for the sin of the world. And we thank you. We bless you, we glorify you, as we lift you up, as you breathe upon us and reveal to us the beauty of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. And I thank you for praying with me as we continue to move in our scripture today as we look at the end of point two and we move into point three. And as I said, this is the conclusion of this teaching track, Jesus is Coming to Town. And our points from last broadcast are Jesus is coming, point two, Jesus came, and point three, Jesus glorified. Again, Jesus is coming, prophesied, Jesus came, personified, and Jesus comes again, glorified. And we looked at prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9, and we focused on verses 1 and 2 and 6 and 7, and we cross-referenced to Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. And we also looked at how it was told to us in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, Jesus would crush the head of the serpent. And the beautiful thing is that the prophet Isaiah penned the prophecy of a child has been born unto us 700 years before he came. And we know, if you don't know, trust and believe that that was nobody but God through the prophet Isaiah revealing to his people, that's you and me, that the Son, Jesus Christ, will be born of a virgin. And as we saw the connection between Isaiah and we looked in the book of Matthew or the Gospel of Matthew. We saw how they were connected. And we moved into the second point, which was Jesus came, and we looked at how he was incarnation. And, of course, the word incarnation, I wanted to kind of expound on that a little more today, because I just don't want anyone to go or not have a clear or a simple understanding of some of the words that are being used for the sake of those who may not even know Jesus Christ, and using words that they may not be familiar with or haven't even heard because they don't know Jesus for themselves intimately and personally. So before we start, if you would, brothers and sisters, let's extend the gospel to those who might be listening to this broadcast who may not have accepted him as their Lord and Savior. I'm just being nudged by the Holy Spirit to just rest right here before we get moving into the lesson to have a little deeper understanding of Jesus coming again. So let's pray for those. And those who are listening, please humble your heart just as we opened up the broadcast. Humble your heart to receive this beautiful gift into your heart that he will lord over your life, that he would set up the throne on your heart, that he would lead you and guide you as you hunger for him and thirst for him. So if you would, bow your head and repeat after me. And brothers and sisters, as you lift up somebody that you may know in your personal circle of influence that may not know Jesus as their Lord, pray for them and lift them up that they would receive salvation, that they would receive the true gift of eternal life. So let's pray together. Father, Lord God, I come to you as humble as I know how, with a bowed head, surrendered hands, and I come receiving the free gift of life. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I cannot save myself. But I know there is one named Jesus who died on the cross for me. It was his blood that covered my sin. I surrender my life to you because of what you've done for me. I did not deserve it. I thank you for your grace and your mercy on me. Please forgive me for what I have done, because I did not know. But I come to you, Lord, as humble as I know how, saying thank you. I accept you as my Savior. I love you. I need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying with me, and those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I just want to say thank you, because you have done the best thing that you could have ever done in your entire life, and that is accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So now that you are a believer in Christ Jesus, I pray that you would seek out a Bible teaching church, one that would teach you and disciple you in a small group or a Sunday school class, that you would grow and go in grace and be baptized, that you would get up and express and profess that you are a Christ follower, that you are a born-again believer, a new creature in Christ Jesus, a new creation, and you have a new nature. So welcome and thank you for accepting Him as your Savior. So now let's move forward in our lesson. And we are going to look at a particular word that if you have not heard, you might hear as you further study and seek understanding and wisdom through the Holy Spirit who now lives in your life and who lives inside of you. So let's look at this word, incarnation, and we're going to look at it in detail. And the word incarnation is a term actually used in by theologians, if you will, to indicate that Jesus, the Son of God, as I indicated last teaching lesson, that he took on, or God took on human form. And this is a challenge for a lot of people to understand in order to comprehend it. But this is what I want to tell you. I want you to totally learn how to depend completely on the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you and allow Him to reveal the beauty and the sweetness of God's word and how He can reveal to you and give you an understanding in its simplest form in the way that He knows best and that He would make it clear to you. But you've got to pray about that and ask Him to reveal the things that He has for you to understand. But I hope that I can do my best to help you better understand this one particular word, the incarnation. Or incarnation, which means the act of being flesh or being made flesh. And, of course, it's a Latin word. It comes from the Latin version of John 1:14. And let's take a look at what it says in John chapter 1, verse 14. And we're going to look at this in the ESV translation, but this is how it reads. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, let's look at John 1:1. John 1:1. And it says in the NIV translation, in the beginning was the Word. And in certain translations, and I hope that you're reading a translation where the word is capitalized, capital W-O-R-D. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that is a very important verse that I want you to underline in your Bible, if you will, or if you're reading from your tablet or your phone. Make note of that. John 1, verse 1. And then verse 2, He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. Now let's think about this. I like to think about it as a seed. Now when we think about verse 4 in John 1:1, and we're still looking at the incarnation that we read in John 1:14. But in John 1:4, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Now, remember, it said he was with God in the beginning. And if we go all the way back to the beginning of our Bible in Genesis, in the garden, in the very beginning, Jesus was there in the beginning. And if you think about the particular story of Adam and Eve, when they were in the Garden of Eden, if you take notice in Scripture, they had a command. They could eat freely of anything in that garden but one tree. And we know that tree to be the tree of good and evil. And they ate of the wrong tree, basically disobeyed Adam and Eve. But the tree of life was sitting there for them to freely eat. That tree of life, if we look at how things grow, the seeds that we plant, trees in our backyard or a garden that grows vegetables, those dry seeds look dead in the packet. If we go to the farmer's market, if we go to a place where we purchase seeds, or even if we take seeds from fruit that we've eaten and we dry them out, do you know that the seed still has life inside of it? It doesn't look lively to us. It looks dead, dried out. It doesn't even appear as though it would produce anything. But when we plant those seeds in fertile ground, that dry seed has life in it still, for it to reproduce life. Jesus, as we just prayed, we prayed for those who do not know Jesus at all, intimately, personally. We prayed life, that the seed would take blossom in the fertile ground of their heart, that they would become new life, that they would experience eternal life, that they will have a glorified body of new life. The seed of life. And when I illustrate it by a package of seeds that we plant in the ground, for them to produce life. Greenery, trees, fruit, vegetables, whatever the case may be, we expect life to show forth through the ground. That is how we are to understand John 1:1. The Word became flesh. That is how we are to understand the incarnation. God came down, stepped down from the throne of grace, and he became flesh. The incarnation. And we read that in verses 1 through 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the incarnation, or the incarnation means the act of being made flesh. Let's look at the proof of Jesus being human in form. We talked about last week how he came through a virgin named Mary, and we read that specifically in Matthew, and we read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and then we went into Matthew chapter 4, 12 through 17. And we saw how Jesus, or how it was written that he would come in human form through a virgin. And I want us to look at Matthew 18, verse 20, if you will. But just to, before we go there, just to solidify another scripture that explains the Son of God came in the flesh in order to be the Savior of mankind. Let's look at Galatians 4 and 4 before we move to Matthew 18. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Born of a woman, born under the law. And, of course, all of us have failed to fulfill God's law. Christ came in the flesh under the law to fulfill the law on our behalf. Matthew 5:17 tells us, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come to abolish, I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them, according to Matthew 5:17. And Galatians 4:5 says, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. The adoption as sons. And Hebrews 9, verse 22, indicated, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So a blood sacrifice requires a body of flesh and blood, of course. And this was God's plan for the incarnation. When Christ came into the world, he said, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, sacrifice and offering under the old covenant you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Christ came into the world. He said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. Without the incarnation, Christ could not really die. And the cross is meaningless. God did an incredible, incredible work in sending his only begotten Son into the world and providing us with a salvation we do not desire. But I thank God. I thank God that the Word became flesh, that we are now redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. According to 1 Peter 1, if you make note of that, 1 Peter 1, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. And I hope this deepens your understanding concerning the word incarnation, on how Jesus, God himself, came, fully man, fully God. And he came and he slept. He physical protection. He had perspired. He bled. He had sorrow, joy. He got angry. And after all of that, his resurrection, his humanity, was still recognized on this earth. Acts 2, verse 22, puts it this way. Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. His resurrection, his humanity, was still recognized after he ascended to heaven. And today we still preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the call for you as well as myself, to preach and teach and tell about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I hope the word incarnation helps you just as it did help me deepen my understanding about who God really is. Three in one, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of those who have accepted him as their Lord and Savior. So let's move on to chapter Matthew 18, if you will, and we're going to read verse 20. Matthew 18, verse 20. Now we're in Jesus came, and we saw how he had, concerning the word personified, to be a perfect example of a person who has a particular quality. And we know that Jesus was fully God and fully man, and he had human qualities, and he was also divinity. He had powers that proved him to be who he is. Fully God and fully man. His ministry demonstrated. He made the lame walk. He made the dumb speak. He gave sight to the blind. He walked on water. And we are going to look at Matthew 18, and we're going to start at verse 20. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them, in the New King James Translation. So when we as brothers and sisters come together, touching and agreeing, just as we did as we opened up the broadcast, Jesus is in the midst of us. He is with us always to the very ends of the earth. I like to say it this way. When Mary had her baby, and she may not have known exactly what was going to take place with her son, Jesus. And I've heard this song sang in many translations, renditions. And the name of the song is Mary, Did You Know? And if you could Google that song and look at the, read the lyrics of that song. And they really touch me every time I hear it sang by different artists, regardless of who they are. And the lyrics of the song really made me wonder if she knew. If she really knew her son. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy would even save her? Could she have known that? She may not have, but I'm sure as she continued to pursue him, that the very baby boy that she had saved her. And as I hear that song sung over and over, doesn't matter how many times I hear it, the words of that song resonate in my heart to know that that little bitty child who came to us as a gift to us, according to John 3:16, let whosoever will, according to Revelation. John 3:16 is a very, very well-known verse in the Bible. Some people have it tattooed on their body. Some people have memorized this verse. Some people share this verse. Some people spread it on billboards, but it's a very well known, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. And I just wonder if Mary knew that about her son. But even so, Mary, you and me, how precious is this little bitty baby who now lives inside of you and me. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Please take note of these verses that you can go back and have a deeper study and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the wonders of his beauty. Let's look at Hebrews 2, and let's look at 14. And it reads, "In as much then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." Verse 15, "And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Talking about Jesus, talking about Jesus. And remember, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, make note of that. You don't have to go there, but I'm going to read it for the sake of reading that particular verse that we just read. Genesis 3:15. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." And it says in Matthew 18:20 that we just read concerning what will happen or what Jesus has said. Let's look at Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And we're going to, that's where we were. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And as I read in Genesis 3, 15, it solidifies with what was made mention or stated in verse 14 and 15. Let's go to Galatians 4, 4, which I believe we've read, but we're going to reread that. Galatians 4, 4. "But when the time had fully came, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. We as believers in Christ Jesus are sons or daughters of God who have the Holy Spirit living inside us. Remember, Jesus came, born of a virgin, took on human flesh called the incarnation, God in human form. And we said in Isaiah that he would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. His name in Matthew was called Emmanuel. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And that was Matthew 1, verse 23. And his name in John 1, 1, the word capital W-O-R-D. We read that. And we know him to be the gospel. He is the word. For the word became flesh. We also know him as the good shepherd. We also know him as the door, the vine, the bread of life, the light of the world, the way, the truth, the life. He is the high priest. This just solidifies in these scriptures that Jesus did come. There's no doubting it. There's nothing that should bring about doubt, although there are those who doubt, who don't believe. But as children of light, because the light lives inside of us, then we are to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is solidified from Genesis to Revelation that he is love, capital L-O-V-E. Let's look at the last point in this teaching track. Jesus Christ is coming to town. We know he is coming because Isaiah prophesied it concerning that. It was said in Genesis. It was even indicated in the Gospels. Jesus came as a little bitty baby who walked on this earth, who ministered, healed, cried out, and died on an old rugged cross on Calvary's hill. Now we're going to look at Jesus comes again. Now we read in Matthew 28:20, but I want to back up to Matthew 28 and let's look at verse 1. Matthew 28, and let's start at verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. Angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was, let me back up. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and came like dead men. An angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell your brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything they had that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report goes to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee and to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him there, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen. This just solidifies that he resurrected and that he is coming back again. And verse 9, suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. Suddenly is the word. He didn't walk days like he did before he resurrected. He appeared suddenly. Jesus comes again, glorified. He didn't have to take anything with him. Water, he didn't walk for journeys on end. He just suddenly appeared, glorified. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and just underline that word in Matthew 28, verse 9, and put a little side note in your Bible, if you will. Either circle suddenly and draw a line or indicate glorified. Suddenly Jesus met them. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, firstborn indicating position. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. That's you and me. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Amen. That solidifies again that through his body and what he did on the cross, through him and him alone. Let's look at Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, verse 7. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Circle the words, I am coming soon. Let's go to verse 12 in the same chapter. Behold, I am coming soon. Circle that as well. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and Omega, and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life. If you will, underline the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride says, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everybody who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Verse 20, he who testifies of these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Circle that or underline that. Again, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Now, in this particular chapter of Revelation, it is stated on multiple times, and you can count the times that you have circled, I am coming soon. And in verse 20, he who testifies of these things says, yes, I am coming soon. And we all agree by saying, amen, come, Lord Jesus. I hope and pray that you understand and anticipate with joy as he comes again, glorified in all of his glory, in all of his majesty, in all of his beauty, that one day when we lay these bodies down of ours, that we will rise up and be caught up with him, that we will take on our glorified body, that we will come and appear suddenly, just as he does. But while we are yet still in this barren land, we are to sojourn with joy, and we are to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Open up the packages of seeds by our words, our testimony, that they will fall on fertile ground, not stony ground, not rocky ground, but fertile ground, that the seed will take life in their heart, that the gospel will go forth. Because Jesus is coming to town. And when he comes, pray and hope that others who may not know him come to know him quickly. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, we rejoice in the coming of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, as we close this broadcast or this teaching track, Jesus Christ is coming to town. I hope that the richness of this lesson today has pierced your heart in some way, shape, or form, that during this time of year that you would spread the gospel and understand that the tree of life was always in the garden, and that the tree that may be in your house that is decorated with beautiful lights and a star of David that sits on top, that tree resonates the light of the world, and that you would be that beautiful tree that is the light of the world. So I employ you to go and tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Always remember that the grass withers and the flowers fade away, but never, ever, ever forget that the Word of God will remain forever. God bless you, brothers and sisters, and have a wonderful, blessed week.